I'm very happy now to welcome Peter Kraus. He is the owner of Ursus Rare Books in New York City. He's one of the world's leading antiquarian book dealers. And this summer at Garcia Street Books, there's an exhibition and sale of rare and erotic books from Ursus Rare Books titled What is Obscene? It runs through the 6th of September. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
This exhibition commemorates, among other things, the 50th anniversary of the Lady Chatterley's Lover Obscenity Trial, and a British court ruled that this novel could, in fact, legally be published. You have some of those books and James Joyce's Ulysses and so on in this little exhibition. What is obscenity? Is it an antiquated term at this point, or is it a term whose meaning keeps shifting? What do we even mean by obscenity?
Well, it's definitely a term whose meaning is shifting. It probably is antiquated, because now one would think almost anything goes. And what's charming about it is when you look back at something like Lady Chatterley's Lover or Ulysses, you can't imagine what on earth they were thinking about. But to condemn the books, but you know, obviously, like everything else, taste changes, and the what one thinks about things changes. And it probably is now more a question of protecting children from things that are deemed offensive rather than other adults. I mean, children aren't going to read Ulysses, so I think the nature of obscenity is much more directed towards that kind of aspect of things more than it used to be.
I find it so amusing that Ulysses was ever considered obscene, because there's so few people who are even able to read it, so the idea that it would deprave public morals is kind of amusing.
Of course, but I think that's part of the what is amusing about when you look back at when various things, whether it be movies or art objects or books, were deemed obscene, because in fact it seems that by making them obscene, you actually create an interest. If they just left them alone, nobody would have ever looked at them or read them. But that seems to be the nature of the beast.
Yeah, it is, I suppose, the best possible publicity. There is a distinction made between erotica and pornography. Is that a real distinction?
I guess it is, because, you know, I don't think I would ever want to be associated with selling pornography. I'm not actually tickled to death with selling erotica, but one ends up having it because artists like Picasso, Matisse did things that were erotic. And one of the books that I lent to the exhibition is, you know, the Marquis de Sade. So that's clearly, I mean, that's one of those things where some people would say it's pornographic, but I think by modern standards you would consider it erotic. But I mean, there you could have a sort of endless debate. But I think there is a difference between the two. I mean, if it has artistic merit, one would say it's erotic, and if it has no artistic merit, then one would tend to say it was pornographic, and you can debate that until you're blue in the face. But I tend to think that's what differentiates the two things.
I think it's also, I mean, when you look at them etymologically, pornography means literally writing about prostitutes, whereas erotica presumably can apply to ordinary people. It's not expressly
right.
About prostitution in some way.
Right. But I guess it's changed over time.
Why do you suppose that material, whether it be literature or art, depicting sexual content has traditionally been considered, at least in Western culture, I suppose, considered obscene, but the most graphic violence is not?
Well, that's one of the sad things about our culture, that, you know, you can blow somebody away with a machine gun and that's considered entertainment, but two people having sex is considered, unsalubrious. That big change that came in the 19th century with the Victorians, where, the, you know, there was all of a sudden this absolute horror of anything to do with the human body and sex, and it all got sort of swept under the carpet and you couldn't talk about it, see it, discuss it. Whereas violence is okay, because violence is actually, obviously, a lot of violence, the majority of violence has always been state-sanctioned in the form of warfare.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't help but wondering whether cultures and subcultures that link violence with sex are more likely to get upset about obscenity.
That's probably true in Japan. I mean, I had a funny situation in Japan years ago. I did an exhibition in Japan, the customs seized one of the books, which was a wonderful Picasso book. It was a Picasso photography book, and the Picasso had done illustrations, but there were photographs in the book by a photographer named Lucien Clerc, and I couldn't for the life of me think why the book had been seized. And then I was informed in Japan that the display of pubic hair is considered offensive, and that was the reason the book was seized. But I then made an expedition into the Japanese bookselling district, and there were all sorts of bookshops, and I went in to examine what they were selling, and believe me, they were selling all sorts of things that I considered incredibly pornographic and should not have been for sale. But my rather beautiful book was they didn't allow it in the country. It was returned to America because it was considered too offensive. And there's, Japan obviously has this incredibly violent samurai culture, but also this sort of somewhat serious obsession with sex, which used to be manifest by the fact that, up until the Americans closed it down after the war, prostitution was legal.
Is there in the antiquarian book business a special market for these types of books, both the antiquarian books like Lady Chatterley's Lover, which really nobody considers obscene anymore,
right,
and more contemporary so-called erotica?
Well, there is a sort of substantial market for erotica. I mean, the French seems to be more obsessed with it than anybody else. There is a huge body of French written and illustrated literature which is erotic. So it was recently, the greatest collection of erotic books was just, one of the greatest collections, just acquired by the Swiss Bodmer Library in Geneva, and that was a private collection. Like everything else, there isn't a vast amount of anything on the market anymore, but there is certainly a fair amount of both erotic and theme books, just by virtue of the fact that how many books of those two genres exist.
How is the antiquarian book business going these days?
I say, by and large, it's healthy, but it's very much changed because it seems to me that the old way that people collected, which tended to be sort of mostly spurred by intellectual curiosity, seems to be replaced by people who, want trophies, collect quasi out of investment a lot of it, and people don't seem to have the time or the sort of intellectual curiosity to really accumulate collections the way they used to. I'm just handling a collection at the moment on Matisse. The man collected every book illustrated by Matisse, about 60 or 70 books, and over 500 books about Matisse. I can't imagine anybody today doing that. That kind of determined, dogged, it's taken him 50 years. People don't collect like that today. But otherwise, I think, certainly it's an active world.
Peter Krause is the owner of Ursus Rare Books in New York. And once again, the exhibition, What is Obscene? It's an exhibition and sale of rare and erotic books from Ursus Rare Books, is at Garcia Street Books here in Santa Fe through the 6th of September. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.